Hey, hey, shh, shh, shh. Calm down. The show is about to start.
Reese on the radio.
Turn it up.
Turn it up loud.
Turn it up loud.
Like a dream come true.
Turn on your radio. Reese is on the radio.
Yo, let's keep it.
Due to the nature of this program, discretion does not exist.
It's Reese on the Radio, right now, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah! How's that volume now, Roland? I thought so. What's going on, all you scallywags out there? You know what time it is. It's time. It's time for that man. You know him, Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080. Are they telling us to move on, Roland? All right, whatever. I'm not, again, never would I have ever made a big issue out of it, but you know what? What the hell? It happened. But I got other stuff to get to, which is related to it. It's related to it. Because what we have to recognize is where we are in society today. And welcome to your Friday, by the way. All of you weekend revelers. Of course, we got Roseanne on the radio joining us later on to talk about a whole bunch of things that are going on in the news today. And cultural stuff as well. But it's important to note where we are in our society today. And many of you who call up this program and many others have had this one theme going over and over again. When did it get so crazy? And the question needs to be asked, but it cannot be answered because no one really knows when. I have an idea. You have an idea. Many people can go as far back as the 60s and 70s. Some people will say that it happened in the 90s. I've heard many people on this very program say that it was right around 2008 in the election of Barack Obama. But I want to, if I can, from my point of view, I can say that there have been a whole bunch of things that have gone sort of back and forth. But if I were to really pinpoint where we are right now as to what led to the craziness, I think, if I'm right, and I'll take your phone calls about it. You can tell me if I'm off the beaten path here, if I'm... Maybe I'm not gauging it right, but I think, I really do, I think it all happened right around the mid-90s. I really do believe that. That the mid-90s sort of ginned up the crazy. And it was on one side. Now, many people have sat up here and tell you, you know, the Republicans are crazy, too. And not so much. We've got them. There are some people who are beyond the pale. As any political group will tell you, hey, the independents are like that, too. And as much as we revel and celebrate Ross Perot, you remember that time when he started talking about space aliens. But I say it all began about the 90s. 90s was very pivotal for a lot of groups on the left. In particular, the African Americans. In the 90s, there was this emergence of mainstreaming in the urban community. Anybody remember when the late night wars were going on? Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Jay Leno. As soon as Johnny was out, Jay Leno, David Letterman were back and forth, and then out of nowhere, this upstart comedian does a nightly news show, and he was the new big thing, Arsenio Hall. And the moment that changed everything politically was a saxophone-playing candidate for president, William Jefferson Clinton, Bubba. That changed everything for that election. It is undeniable that in that moment, 1992 was pivotal to our way of life, socially and definitely politically. The Democrat Party was in the dirt. Ronald Reagan had pretty much ended them. Democrats needed a champion, a hero. And Bill Clinton was the answer. And that moment on Arsenio Hall got plenty of people who were kind of felt disenfranchised in their own right, whether or not it was accurate or not, felt like they were a part of something. It was a little different in 2008 with Barack Obama. I think a lot of that stuff was sort of fake and manufactured. You know, I think there was a lot of push by the news media. But what Bill Clinton did at that moment was strategic, organic even. I don't really think that the media played a role. Now, what do I mean by that? Bill Clinton, during that time, was getting, I mean, attacked by the news media, especially about his extramarital affairs. I don't remember anyone saying that there wasn't a fair and balanced news media during that election. Clinton was raked over the coals several times about that. No matter how many Democrats were on the news saying that his personal business was his personal business, the media did not stop. In many cases, people believe that Herbert Walker Bush should have skated. He should have skated in that election. But he did not, because the young upstarts really loved Bill Clinton. He spoke to them, and they felt powerful. People who never felt that they belonged did. 1992 was also an exceptional age. The wife and I always talk about this with the boy about 1992, 93 even. I told the boy this one story about a nightclub I was in Lower Manhattan. It was on Fifth Avenue and 12th or 13th Street. It used to be a Korean deli, and somebody had hollowed it out and turned it into a nightclub. They were doing that all over the place in the 90s. But we were in there, and the crowd was mixed for Fifth Avenue. It's in the NYU area, but the crowd was mixed. You had the hip-hop heads. You had the college heads. Whites, blacks, Asians, everybody. Center of New York City, downtown. And we're in the club, and everyone's playing the most popular hip-hop tunes that were pretty much of the top 40 realm. So if you knew that, if you were playing that song, everybody who was there, no matter what demographic they were, they knew the songs. And it was very, it was a strong hip hop sort of element. Top 40, but still hip hop. And something, I still say it was one of the most miraculous moments of my 20s, as far as cultural And as far as cultural spheres go. So in the middle of that hip-hop, very urban sort of atmosphere, all of a sudden I hear a guitar riff played by the DJ. You know it well. Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. The whole place went nuts. They were more excited about that song being played at any other time the entire night that song came on. everyone in that moment felt like they were in a concert with Nirvana. The guy was just playing a record. And that was the moment that I knew everything had changed. No matter who you were or where you were, music was absolutely, like, there was a mind meld or a meld of cultures right there. That year, that time was absolutely different for everybody. You might even remember this. Back in the, late 80s, early 90s, even, what's the group? Guns N' Roses did a song off the soundtrack of Judgment Day. What was Axl Rose wearing in the music video? An NWA hat. Anthrax was performing with Public Enemy. It was a time that was unlike anything else, but at the same time, people felt like they mattered. People were getting involved in politics and social things in ways that they hadn't before. They were trying to sort of grab the protest and the protest class of the 1960s. They were trying to revamp the whole thing. Even fashion was going back to the 60s. I'll never forget. Gap started bringing back bell bottoms. The hippie age started going on. You have to know about De La Soul in order to understand that, for the late 80s. But people were bringing back the 60s, the protest era. People were fighting for their rights, so to speak. They called it Generation X because no one knew what they stood for, but they wanted to stand for something. They finally felt they had power. And as they got older, they wanted more of it. The election of Bill Clinton, the re-election of Bill Clinton, this meant they had clout. During that era, we had the Million Man March. Louis Farrakhan was more vocal than he'd ever been in his career. He was an outcast. This time, he was staging marches on Washington. Can you imagine all of that, in their view, progress, years and years and years? And then, as, you know, it's supposed to happen, right? All of it. Sure, we get the George W. Bushes, but, you know, the protests went nuts then, too. But it was George W. Bush, and we had a war, and that was a good distraction in order to keep him elected, as many people believed. I'll admit, I was probably one of them. But the movement kept going. Progressivism kept going. And the further and further it got, the more and more momentum it got, the more powerful people became. And then, as we all know, 2015 threw a wrench in all of that. Many people stood around laughing at what was going to become the MAGA movement. There's no way this upstart, a guy, a real estate mogul and a television show host, a reality show host, there's no way that kind of stuff is laughed about. This isn't real. And then as the momentum grew, even when people thought that this guy was just tripping over himself and he was saying things that were completely outlandish, there's no way the world would ever allow that to happen. Look at the progress we've made for so many years. How could it happen? And it did. And you have to be honest about one thing when it comes to the other side. When you have a group of people who are complacent and comfortable, and then someone comes in and kicks the toys over and says you can't play in the park anymore, if you don't know how to respond to that, if you don't know how to fight back, you will just lose your mind, scream, holler, throw a tantrum. You've always had it your way. Didn't matter if you had a couple of hiccups here and there, but you always got it your way. And then somebody comes around and tells you, not anymore. You've had it too easy. You're going to get people reacting the way that they're acting. So if you're looking at all of this and wondering, why are they so crazy? Why are they so over the top? Why are they screaming and hollering? People who should know better, of age, of stature, why would they put it all at risk? It's because they've never had their toys taken from them. No one's ever told them that they're not allowed to play in the playground and make the rules anymore. They were always unstable. Now that they have to deal with a new reality, they don't know how to. While you were getting angry and trying to be strategic and looking at things from this point of view that says, how do I fix this? Or I have a problem. I need to deal with this strategically. Okay, I need to moderate. I need to, you know, readjust. While you were out there doing the things that adults do, acclimating, these folks were losing their minds instead of going with the flow because they only see it their way and they only want it their way. Don't be confused by the crazy. Just recognize it. Unfortunately, we're the ones who are going to have to adapt. We're going to have to adapt to the crazy. But it doesn't mean that we sit idly by. We have to continue to work hard. Some will get it, some will don't, but we have to accept that many won't. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More news, more views when we return. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen to WTIC News Talk 1080 on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC today for alerts on special programming.
All right, we are back. Reese on the radio, WTIC News Talk 1080. Was Angel Reese suspended from the WNBA? For what? I didn't know you could be suspended for bricks. You could be suspended for throwing bricks? I didn't know that. Perhaps they suspended her for the 2 to 3 points that she scores per game. I don't know. Moving along, we've got a guest today at 4:05. I'm not going to tell you who it is until we get to the headlines. The headlines will tell you who the guest is, but I want you to tune in for that because, of course, it involves another journalist and some news that broke today about the newspaper called The Day. If you haven't heard about it. So we'll talk to the person who is the subject of that matter, and we'll explain it once we get to headlines. So stand by for that at 4:05. I saw this story, and I thought it was worth discussing. And I think there should be a new venture. Now, I've been thinking about this in a limited way, because when we talked about Newington and the Optimo car wash. One thing that you guys kept bringing up was Optimo cited for having illegals working at its operation. And that is such a good point. But you don't really know how to address it. Because I'm usually of the understanding that, you know, which companies? How do you know which companies? That may take a little bit of work. It may take some undercover work to do that. There might be some people who do know and don't know who to talk to. And the reason why I say that is that some of those people don't know who to talk to. And the reason why they want to talk is because of, obviously, you know, for safety reasons. I could be working with some denunt from some other foreign country who doesn't know what he's doing and has nothing to lose other than his life. And therefore causing an accident that could take the life of somebody else who is certified to be on said job. It's like working with a drunk driver. The only thing he cares about is getting to his destination. And a lot of these guys, Kate, they don't care about the safety. These guys are getting paid pennies on the dollar. When you have the responsibility, because you are legally hired, you do your job with a degree of caution, severity. So I heard this story about the Georgia Hyundai dealership. Well, plant, I should say. Not a dealership. It's a plant. And when I heard the story, you immediately go, and it shows you how biased you can be. All I heard was that Homeland Security and ICE went down to this facility and grabbed over 450 folks, scooped them up. And I'm going, wow. Was this an actual, like, plant where they were built? No, they were constructing the plant. So I'm saying to myself, oh, wow, okay. That must have been easy to figure out. And then something else happened. I learned today that a majority of the illegals were South Korean. And imagine all of us. And again, I'm taking full ownership here. So you guys on the left, say what you want. I am taking ownership of this. When I heard the story, I went to the low-hanging fruit. I went to the common denominator. I do not deny it. I went, wow, 450 folks over at the Hyundai dealership? That must have been easy to pick up. Must have been fish in a barrel for ICE. And then to find out that they were South Korean, a majority of them, I went, whoa. And no, truth be told, many of us do not think about that. But let me say this to the left. Neither do you. Because I am certain that just like me, you thought the same thing in that story. And when you found out they were South Korean, you were finally trying, you were looking for an own. You were probably sitting up there going, see, see, they're not all Latino and Hispanic. See? I'm not, you got me. Guilty as charged. But you were there too. I know we all were. We had to have been. Unless we read the story. If you saw the headline, 450 people picked up at a construction of a Hyundai plant, you would have never thought, whoa, South Koreans? Wouldn't have even come across your mind. But here we are. So I started thinking about it. I immediately started thinking about it, going, you know, maybe that should be the new frontier. Let's stop complaining about whether or not the businesses are being held accountable. I want you to think about this on this level. As much as we talk about our communities that have all of these folks in them, right, who were there, we know nothing about them. Guys like Justin Ellicker tell us he doesn't know who they are. And if we want to, we should get to know them. By the way, imagine the risk of that, that the neighbor that lives next door, and Justin Ellicker says, you go find out who your neighbors are. And you walk over to the neighbor's house. Hey, how are you? I'm Reese. I'm your next door neighbor. And the person that you're knocking on the door is from the Sinaloa cartel. Or some other bad group, a Trende Aragua person. And that person doesn't want to be asked questions. And starts saying, yeah, what are you doing here? What are you coming here for? What are you a welcome wagon? Get out of here. What if that person doesn't want to be met? And that person's got a violent history. Or a violent disposition. And I'm going over there to go, you know, bring them baked goods. Hi. We wanted to bring you guys some freshly made strudel. Imagine. I'm just saying. But now, think about it on this front. At the Hyundai plant. Your friends and neighbors are working there too. Your brothers, your sisters, perhaps your dad or your mom. And someone is there who's not been vetted, clearly isn't certified to doing the work there. They may be certified in another country, but they're not certified to be here. They have absolutely, I mean, if they run the risk of getting somebody injured, they just walk off the job and go and find another one. Remember, the company has no actual, like, paperwork on them that can hold that individual accountable. They pretty much just have to tell them, get out of here. You don't work here anymore. There's no paperwork. That person is absolutely, like, whoever it is that your family member is on that job is at the mercy of the next lunatic who's got nothing to lose. Just like the case in your community. So I think that it's important that if these things are happening, people need to step up. The Optimo Car Wash, if they are hiring illegals, look, it's a great car wash. I heard a lot of people love it. Many people are saying, oh, you know, we don't want to destroy a small business. I don't either. But there are plenty of small businesses around. How many small businesses are not doing well? Because one small business is cutting corners. How many? How many people out there cannot start a legitimate business and hire legitimate individuals? Has to compete with somebody who is hiring illegals for pennies on the dollar or just let them hang around and make tips. Oh, they do that too. They do that too. So there should be a task force for that. This case with Hyundai in Georgia, the press conference today, one of the spokespersons said that they got tips. They were doing this a month-long investigation, and they were talking to employees who were there who knew of the illegals who were there. One reporter during the press conference said that it was known by the local community that the illegals were working there for months. They knew it pretty much since the beginning of the year during the building of that site, that the neighbors knew about it. Now, the fact that a journalist in Georgia knew that, the people who worked in journalism in that state and in that region all knew. Now they're in front of the investigators, the guys who did all the hard work, and are questioning the guys who arrested them and says, hey, you know, a lot of people in the neighborhood knew that this was going on for months. And you guys didn't report on it? You guys didn't tip off the authorities? You guys knew a scandal was a brewing with Hyundai? And not one of you alerted the authorities? You played the background? When has that ever been the case? When has that ever been the case? Gone are the days of Woodward and Bernstein, I might add. But yeah, no one said a word and had the audacity to bring that up. Young woman during the press conference. Yeah, this is something that everybody knows has been going on for a long time. Can you tell us how long your investigation was going on? And he just looked at her and just like, are you people serious? So everybody knew? The employees had to go to the federal government to get them to act? Because they couldn't rely on the local media to keep them safe or to pretty much arrest people who were breaking the law and putting people's lives in danger? That's where we are. Max says, I for one just assumed they were South Korean. Not me. Oh, I definitely did not think South Korean. When I saw that, I look again, I openly admit, I was quite surprised. I went, oh. But it's not like we didn't know that plenty of other different people were coming through the southern border. Hell, I watched that Bill Malusian report every night during the Biden administration. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More news, more views, and we got headlines coming up. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
More news and views than you can shake a stick at. We've got headlines coming up in a little bit. We've got some Hollywood news that involves a very old director and actor that I grew up when I first wanted to be in Hollywood. This actor and director I wanted to be like. I thought he was a giant in movies when I was a kid. And he was even gracious enough to star in a film in 1986 that I still think that he should have never done. because he starred in it, and he soon passed away. I think he passed away before the movie was even released. So I want to talk about him in Hollywood News, so stand by for that. Of course, we got Between Rounds, that winner coming up as well. Don't forget, you can always go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's R-E-E-S-E on the radio.com so you can log in. Also, follow me on Substack where you can get my articles every Sunday, right there. And you can find them in my good friends, the Connecticut Sentinel, who wrote a nice piece about me today. And thank the folks at the Connecticut Sentinel for believing, in the show. And all of you, as always, as you support the program. I do have an update. Somebody just sent this to me, and I want to give them credit for giving me the heads up. So give me a second here. I think it is, yes, Trick Step sent this to me on X. He said, please let everybody know this. HHS reinforces religious and conscious exceptions from childhood vaccine mandates. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Offices for Civil Rights, today issued a letter notifying state awardees of vaccines for children's program that participating immunization programs and program registered providers must respect state religious and conscience exemptions from vaccine mandates. Today's letter makes clear that providers must respect state laws protecting religious religious-based exemptions to vaccine mandates. And this according to HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy. So this has been an argument that many folks have been having. In fact, CNN was talking about it just the other day. In fact, I just watched Benny Johnson have a debate with, Chris Cuomo, with this, you know, nonsense about, you know, your kids got to get vaccines so my kids don't get sick. You can always homeschool your kids. And I'm like, and why not homeschool your kids? what are you talking about? Anyway, but this is great. Religious freedom will be protected again under this. I just want to hear the people who are going to complain about it. And I love it when people make these arguments about religious freedom. It's funny. Speaking of religious freedom, I've got this clip that I was going to play yesterday. But, of course, things got thrown off the rails. They didn't get thrown off the rails. I brought that on. Tim Kaine yesterday, a lot of people were talking about this.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
That guy was almost vice president. Lori's like, dodged another bullet. Yeah, I've never understood people who don't get that. You know, that's another part of like the opening monologue. We do have a society that believes that government is our God. And there's another, you know, group of people who believe that government is our mom and dad. They've tethered themselves to the government because, and this is the interesting part, right? Even though government isn't reliable, people still think it is. And what do I mean by that? So a lot of people openly don't trust the government, but they can easily rely on it. Because for certain things, they know they'll be there. Right? They can get a check. They can get housing. Those things are things that they think, those are things that they think are guaranteed. As long as I apply, they will be made available for me. I can't trust them with anything else. They keep secrets from us. They lie to us. They're always doing something sneaky. They're always lining their own pockets and their friends' pockets. But when I need them, they're always ready and available. Because without them, I'd have to do it on my own. And again, they even shun people who refuse government assistance, if you will. And I don't mean just welfare. They will shun you and say, you know, and then malign you for having done it yourself. Well, you're different. You're the exception, not the rule. Not everybody is like you. I love that one. That's my favorite one. Not everybody's like you, Reese. I don't want everybody to be like me. And it's not a requirement that you do it my way. It's just like, do it on your own way. Other people need the government. They need it. Do they, though? It's just, again, it's a place where we are. And I think that's the part where a lot of people went crazy, was that now the government isn't what it was. I think that was part of all that nonsense, the screaming and hollering, was that government was being literally, like, chopped to pieces, discarded. People were nuts. Anyway, that's my take. Headlines coming up next.